The Senate Energy, Utilities, Environment, and Climate Committee will please come to order. It's Monday, March 24th, 2025. It is 12:35 p.m., and we're here in the Minnesota Senate Building, room 1150. Hope everyone had a good weekend, ready to get to work. The first item on the agenda is the call to order. The second is Senator Matthews' bill. I'm going to pull that agenda item for now until Senator Matthews gets here and we can chat a little bit. With that, we're going to move on to the third agenda item, Senate File 2456. Senator Pratt and a testifier, Stacy Cook. Senator Pratt, welcome to the Energy Committee. Good to see you.
Mr. Chair, it's good to be back. Energy was, I served on energy for a number of years, and it is one of the most interesting committees in the body. And
thank you for that, Senator.
I appreciate being back here.
Appreciate you bringing the bill forward. Fire away.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before I begin, I was wondering if somebody could move my A1 amendment.
I'm quite confident, Senator Pratt, that Senator Weber would move the A1 amendment. Members, any questions for Senator Pratt to the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the A1, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The amendment is adopted. Senator Pratt, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the time in front of you, members. Senate File 2456 is really a simple bill. It would allocate $5 million from the Renewable Development Account for COTA Energy to purchase equipment that will dispose of wood infested by the emerald ash borer and supporting a base load renewable source of electricity. COTA is a combined heat and power biomass plant located in Shakopee, Minnesota, and owned by the Rahr Malting Company. Built initially and operated in partnership with the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community. For those that don't know, Rahr Malting is a family-owned business that's been around for over 175 years. And just about any beer that you consume or cook with, I always put beer in my chili, probably uses Rahr Malt in some form or fashion. Now, I don't have to tell you that Minnesota is facing an escalating crisis with the emerald ash borer. The infestation places significant burdens on our municipalities, our landowners, and our industries. The current disposal infrastructure is often at capacity. And that leads to infested wood either being burned outside or being allowed to rot, both which only make the problem worse. COTA already uses agribusiness waste, like RAR's byproducts, mixed with wood in Stacy's super secret recipe. RAR purchases the heat generated from this system and places it to replace its natural gas usage in 7 large industrial kilns. COTA and RAR are located in the Excel service area, and excess power is sold to Excel through a negotiated power purchase agreement. With that, I don't want to get too far ahead of Mr. Cook, who is the expert in all of this, and Mr. Chair, I'd either stand for questions or allow Mr. Cook to testify.
Thank you, Senator Pratt. Let's have Mr. Cook's testimony, then we can go to member questions. Members, I should have noted a quorum is present. Senator McEwen's online, and it is our intention to lay these bills over for possible inclusion in the omnibus. With that, Mr. Cook, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and present your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Frantz, members of the committee, and Senator Pratt. My name is Stacy Cook. I'm the Vice President of Sustainability for RAR Corp, and also as part of that role, President of COTA Energy, the biomass heat and power plant in Shakopee. Senator Pratt had mentioned that it's a very intensive, energy-intensive process, malting barley, both heat and electricity. When we came online with COTA Energy, we had eliminated the use of 90 billion cubic feet a month, approximately, of natural gas off our system and replaced with biomass heat. In 2023, I was down here requesting some funding. The legislature approved $3 million towards a wood dehydrator that is intended to add utilization of emerald ash borer in the metro area. That project today is in permitting. We do have a path forward through permitting, and the grant contracts through the MPCA will be coming soon. They've all been approved. So the 7-county metro area is in critical need of additional EAB infrastructure. In 2023, that legislation that'll add some more utilization to the space. However, we don't have near enough processing. In 2023, the Cambrian Carbon Report that came out identified 530,000 tons a year, approximately, of just emerald ash borer waste in the Seven County Metro. That was due to hit the ground for a period of several years. That'll stretch into the 2030s as far as removal. As that waste wood source wanes and the infestation moves on, we have budworm, we have oak wilt, we have many other invasive species and diseases hitting our forestry around the metro. We're going to continue to have a need for wood waste utilization. So through the newest report from Cambrian Carbon, done for the Partnership of Waste and Energy, she was looking at the utilization. What capacity do we have to utilize wood waste in the Seven County Metro? Of course, we have the Pig's Eye Yard at about 250,000 tons a year. It's kind of pegged to the throughput of the St. Paul Cogeneration biomass boiler. We have about 115,000 tons identified that would be coming online in the next couple of years. But of course, 375,000 tons leaves us far short of the 500 and some thousand tons of woody waste. A lot of the small arborists don't have their own chipping, grinding equipment. They just need a place to go and dispose of that material. So what we are proposing today is to construct a facility on the West Metro. We have the East Metro kind of covered with St. Paul Cogen's environmental wood supply, wood yard at Pig's Eye. If we had something in the West Metro, something in the North Metro even, I would propose, but that's not what's on the list today. But the West Metro, similar processing capacity. The first 114,000 tons, of course, would go to our own heat and power project using that wood dryer when it's constructed. But we'd also like to be sorting out the tops and the limbs from the saw logs, potentially upcycling those saw logs. I'm on the Minnesota Wastewood Stakeholder Group that's run by the MPCA, so every month we're talking to all the waste removal companies, the tree removal companies. They all have piles that they've been storing, waiting for somewhere to send them to be utilized. A lot of those piles are heating up because there's just not enough places to put that material. Also on the Board of Directors of the Minnesota Biochar Initiative, so the use of this site, initially we would have a throughput of 114,000 tons. That would greatly help the utilization and processing capability in the Seven County Metro for that wood waste. The next tranche would be sorting out the saw logs, try to upcycle those to any sawmills around, maybe into some heat-treated ash, which has some very unique qualities and value, and then maybe even into biochar. You know, we are situated where we could possibly get biochar into agricultural soils for those agricultural benefits, since we harvest a lot of barley to use in our malting operation. So this would be for purchasing equipment, setting up a large paved area, fence it in, chippers, grinders, excavator with a thumb, wheel loaders, all the stuff you need to move the wood around, load it into trucks, sort it, and take care of that. So I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
Thank you.
Folks, that's all the listed testifiers. Are there other members of the public who wanted to come forward and testify on this bill? Seeing none, again, members, the intention to lay the bill over for possible inclusion. Any questions from members before we give Senator Pratt the last word? Seeing none, Senator Pratt.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think what we've heard today is Coda Energy can be a reliable partner in eradicating the emerald ash borer while providing renewable baseload energy. This is truly an opportunity for us where the environment, energy, agricultural, and manufacturing industries all have similar needs that can be solved. And not only is it resourceful, members, I would argue it's responsible for us to find a positive outcome for the use of the devastation caused by this invasive insect. Thank you again, Mr. Chair and members, for your support and for hearing our proposal.
Thank you. Well done, Senator Pratt. With that, members, Senate File 2456 is laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And thank you, Mr. Cook. Nice to see you again. Next up, we have Senator McEwen with Senate File 2454. And again, I think, Senator McEwen, we have you online. Are you there? Senator, I don't think we have the audio.
There, I think I was muted. Can you hear me now, Mr. Chair?
We can. Thank you very much, Senator McEwen. Senator McEwen,
to your bill.
Thank you very much. And just first off, I wanted to say thank you for allowing me to present the bill remotely today from Duluth. I very much appreciate that. And in regard to Senate File 2454, I first have an A1 author's amendment. The amendment fills in the amount appropriated from the renewable development account and adds tribal governments to eligible entities. If we could take care of that first, then I can proceed with my introduction to the bill.
Thank you, Senator McEwen. Happy to take care of that. Senator McEwen offers the A1 amendment to Senate File 2454. Members, any questions for Senator McEwen? Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All aye. Opposed? The A1 amendment is adopted. Senator McEwen, to your bill as amended.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, it's my pleasure to introduce Senate File 2454 today. In 2024, a geothermal planning grants program was established to support the planning and feasibility efforts of geothermal and thermal energy networks across Minnesota cities, both urban and rural. However, this only fulfilled part of the need and demand by Minnesota communities that are working to establish carbon-free energy independence through this technology. Senate File 2454 funds this program for an additional $2 million of grants capped at $150,000 each. Local governments have unique opportunities to deploy geothermal systems, especially in smaller cities. Downtown buildings are often older and among the largest buildings in the community. These buildings are especially well suited for geothermal, as outdated HVAC systems are converted to cleaner alternatives that have no ongoing fuel costs, creating long-term savings for taxpayers. Communities are increasingly interested in clean solutions that do not carry the public health harms caused by air pollution as they work to decarbonize their infrastructure. Geothermal and thermal energy networks are an opportunity for carbon-free heating in buildings and create enormous potential to provide Minnesotans with reliable energy to heat and cool our buildings year-round. Senate File 2454 will help more Minnesotans take advantage of this rapidly growing industry. I am happy to be joined by a number of cities and community supporters who can speak to the benefits that can be brought by additional grant funding.
Thank you, Senator McEwen. Well done. We have Sam Friesen from Fresh Energy here. Mr. Friesen, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and present your testimony.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Frentz and members of the committee. My name is Sam Friesen. I'm Managing Director of Buildings at Fresh Energy. Fresh Energy is a 30-year-old Minnesota-based nonpartisan nonprofit organization. We work to drive bold policy and achieve equitable carbon-neutral economies. We appreciate the opportunity to share our thoughts and support for Senate File 2454 today. Geothermal and thermal energy networks are high-efficiency, high-reliability means of heating Minnesota's buildings and transitioning to an energy-independent, low-carbon economy. Older buildings take a lot of heat, and geothermal systems are poised to deliver year-round comfort and reliability in Minnesota's most challenging conditions. The $2 million of planning grants provided in Senate File 2454 would make it more viable for cities and municipalities to implement these emissions-free heating systems and would save taxpayer dollars through reduced heating bills and long-term maintenance. In conversations with Commerce, there was $2.56 million requested of the original $1.2 million allocation with at least 19 applicants. This bill also extends its impact with additional amendment, ensuring these grants will be accessible to urban, rural, and tribal governments across the state. This bill is good for communities, energy, jobs, and industry. We strongly urge you to support Senate Bill 2454 and the resources it will bring to Minnesota communities across the state. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Friesen. Members, that's all our listed testifiers. Are there members of the public who want to come forward to testify on this bill? Seeing none, member questions for the author, Senator McEwen, or for the testifier before we lay the bill over? Seeing none, Senator McEwen, do you want to make any final remarks about the bill before we take action?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just very briefly, thank you again for hearing the bill. I think that this is a really great program, and I notice that there's a number of letters also of support that should be in members' packets as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator McEwen. I should have noted, members, there are letters of support in your packets. So with that, Senate File 2454 is laid over. Members, we're going to go now to Senator Zhang's Senate File 1037. And
while Senator Zhang is getting ready, members, I see an A1 amendment in your packet for witnesses. We have Mr. Marone and Mr. Keegan. Senator Zhang, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Chair. As you mentioned, there's an A1 amendment. I would like to move the A1 amendment.
Senator Zhang offers the A1 amendment to Senate File 1037. Senator Zhang, do you want to say anything about the amendment?
It's just a fix for the bill.
All right.
I'd like to add on.
Any member questions for Senator Zhang on the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Senator Zhang, to your bill as amended.
So, thank you, Chair. I am pleased to present Senate File 1037, a request for funding. As the amendment provided, we would like to ask for $10 million in support for the construction of an anaerobic digester to process food waste in Minnesota. This is a large project with an overall price tag of $100 million, and we are grateful for any funding this committee can provide to move us forward towards fulfilling the last $10 million of funding needed. This anaerobic digester will be the first of its kind in the Midwest and presents an exciting new opportunity to create a homegrown source of energy here in Minnesota. You will see in your packet a number of letters in support of this effort. I will turn over to my testifiers to tell you about this project and why it helps to move us forward towards creating reliable, renewable energy for Minnesota. And I have with you Commissioner Fran Myron.
Thank you, Senator Zhang. Yeah. Commissioner, you're welcome to go first. If so, please introduce yourself and present your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Washington County Commissioner Fran Myron, Vice Chair of the Ramsey Washington Recycling and Energy Board and Chair of the Partnership on Waste and Energy. This project is the exciting next step in a multi-year effort to get organics out of our landfills and move up the waste management hierarchy. Organics, such as discarded food scraps, make up over 20% of collected trash. By addressing this waste and finding a beneficial use for it, we move towards Minnesota's statutory mandated 75% recycling and 15% waste reduction by 2030 goal. The Recycling and Energy Board, a joint powers board of Washington and Ramsey counties, recently launched an innovative food scrap pickup program to ensure that all households in the two counties have the option to recycle their food scraps easily from home without requiring additional bins or trucks on our roads. The Recycling and Energy Board has entered into a 20-year contract agreement to provide those food scraps and other organic rich material to the DEMCON facility for processing by anaerobic digestion. This facility will provide 75,000 tons per year of new organics processing capacity in Minnesota. By keeping these organics out of landfills and using them for energy, we are producing a reduction of greenhouse gas emissions equivalent to removing over 7,000 gas-powered vehicles from the road each year. We are committed to pursuing this next level in waste management and renewable energy production for Minnesota. This facility will be more than just a local asset. We've connected with several other counties who are watching what we're doing and are interested in setting up similar programs in their communities. Under your direction, Mr. Chair, I would like to turn it over to Mr. Bill Keegan for further testimony.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Keegan, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and present your testimony.
Mr. Chair, Senators, thank you very much. Bill Keegan, president of DEMCON Companies. DEMCON's a third-generation family-owned company located in Louisville Township, right on the south side of Shakopee in Scott County. We are a company that is, like I said, been around for three generations, and we are a company that was originally a landfill company, but we have embraced landfill diversion through waste processing and recycling. We still think that the landfill is a vital component of an integrated system, and we have facilities, but we're really striving to develop technically and economically feasible waste management and recycling solutions that help us avoid landfilling. And this was one of those opportunities where, you know, for the last 8 years, it's an opportunity that we've been looking into where we noticed that there was a need for meeting our recycling goals, and there was a need and an ability to divert food waste, and we were lacking infrastructure for that. So we started researching what types of opportunities we could provide as a service provider. Kind of at the highest level, what DEMCON is, just to kind of let you know our perspective, is we're the facility owner and operator, and our customers are the haulers. So the folks that go around to your curbs would be largely be our customers. And so we would provide the facilities for them to deliver the materials to. We're where the materials go, right? So we looked into this and we decided that that infrastructure could be provided by an anaerobic digester and also a biochar process. Just to quickly explain what that is, an anaerobic digester is similar to your stomach. It's a large closed vessel. It has the same type of bacteria in there, and we put food waste in, and we get liquids, solids, and gases out. Those gases are collected as renewable natural gas, and we are connecting directly to the CenterPoint Energy pipeline, so those gases can be distributed onto the grid. Then the liquids get reincorporated back into that process, and then the solids, you could either compost or you can run them through an additional process, which we're doing, which is called the biochar process. Essentially, that's a high temperature, 1200 degrees Celsius process with no oxygen. If you had oxygen in there, you would have fire and you would get ash, like your fire pit. But without oxygen, when you heat the solids, you come out with a charcoal, essentially, which they call biochar. This biochar can be used for a soil amendment. It's like a lot of little sponges, so it holds nutrients and moisture. So it can be used as a soil amendment, and we're working with several compost facilities, and the Shakopee Mittawakaton Sioux community has been a partner of ours in this from the start and looking at using that biochar in their compost. We also can use that for remediation projects. It's similar to the charcoal in your Brita water filter, where you can pull out constituents from air or water. So there's markets for the biochar. So we're bringing in food waste, making two beneficial products, the renewable natural gas and the biochar. And something that was sort of not necessarily an intended outcome of this, but a very welcome outcome, was this biochar process also has the ability to treat for PFAS. And there's been a lot of discussion around PFAS, as I'm sure we all have heard, and this destroys the PFAS down below detectable levels, down to the parts per trillion levels. So we're very optimistic about the ability to be able to treat for PFAS. This facility doesn't create any PFAS. There's just PFAS in the food waste coming in. It's sort of ubiquitous in the environment, and it's present in our inbound materials. So we have the ability to treat for that. The facility does also have carbon reductions. I'll be brief here. There's a 30,000 ton per year carbon reduction and about 900,000 tons over the life of the facility. With that, I will pause and stand for any questions.
Thank you for that, Mr. Keegan. That's the end of our listed testifiers. Are there members of the public who would like to come forward and testify regarding the bill? Seeing none, our intention, members, is to lay the bill over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Are there members who want to ask a question of Senator Zhang or testifiers? Senator Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just I thought I heard you say this is the last $10 million and $100 million project. Where did the other money come from?
Senator Zhang.
No, thank you, Senator Green. And maybe I could let the testifier elaborate on that.
Mr. Keegan?
Yep, Mr. Chair, Senator Green. So it's a $100 million project. Roughly $45 million is coming from, well, let me go through my numbers here rather than estimate. $43 million is private capital from us. $31 million is state and local grants. $10 million in federal grants and $16 million roughly in federal tax credits that come to Minnesota. So this project does have the ability to leverage federal money and get federal money into Minnesota as well.
Thank you, Mr. Keegan. Senator Green.
Thank you. So you mentioned the $10 million in state grants. Is that something you've already gotten, or are you talking about this bill?
Mr. Keegan, do you want to try that? Or Senator Zhang?
It would be this bill.
Okay.
Senator Green, you're good? Members, other questions for the author or testifier? Seeing none, Senator Zhang, do you want to make any final comments?
Well, thank you to the committee for your time. The construction of this facility represents years of work between counties and DEMCON. Everyone has skin in the game here. DEMCON has invested to bring this technology to Minnesota. The counties have committed to a 20-year agreement to supply the feedstock, and we are leveraging federal tax reimbursements and other sources available for the funding. So hope for your support for this bill.
Thank you. Well done, Senator Zhang. With that, member, Senate file 1037 is laid over. Our next bill is Senator Zhang as well. That's Senate file 2758.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I have for you Senate file 2758. It is the microgrid bill. In 2023, we authorized a significant investment in the Center for Microgrid Research at the University of St. Thomas from the RDA account. Our goal was to vault Minnesota into a national leadership role in both R&D and workforce development, which are essential to a more resilient and sustainable energy future. The project also pledged to attract significant investment from outside of Minnesota. I'm proud to say that the center is fulfilling that promise. I am here today to request that we continue to support this critical resource in two ways. First, as I mentioned, we approved the investment in the center in 2023. Unfortunately, due to circumstances outside of the center's control, there have been delays in portions of their work that have delayed the ability to fully expend the grant appropriated for the current biennium before the end of the fiscal year on June 30th. The appropriation is the foundation for an expansion of the center's capacity, but to fully utilize a portion of the previously approved appropriation, the center needs additional time to complete the current work. The work that cannot be completed before the end of before the end of June. Therefore, the primary request in Senate File 2758 is simply to extend the current expiration date on the current appropriation so that the center can complete the work without penalty. The second request in this bill is for commitment of an additional $1.2 million from the RDA. 2 years ago, when we approved the last grants, we also authorized an additional $400,000 of that amount to be appropriated for the upcoming biennium. So this is simply a fulfillment of that previous promise. Added to that, we are requesting an additional $800,000 to help offset just a portion of the increased expenses that have emerged in the past 2 years. And so I want to stress that this additional grant is intentionally a small addition meant to cover such unexpected costs, such as design changes required to secure city permitting approval and unforeseen modifications to essential system requirements, such as grid interconnection. And so I have here testifiers that can speak to it a little bit more.
Senator Zhang, thank you. You've done an excellent job on this. We have testifiers, including Mr. Weinkopf, Professor Kabbalan, and Chandra Herr. If the testifiers could limit their testimony, please, to the issue of the construction timing and to the additional funding, I think that would help us consider the members of this committee familiar with St. Thomas's work on microgrid in general. After all, we're the committee that supported it in the last round of funding. So with that, I don't know who wants to go first.
Sure. Well, thank you, Chair France and Senator Zhang, committee members. So I'm Don Weinkopf, I'm the Dean of Engineering at St. Thomas, and I'll try to speak directly to the chair's request. You know, we're extremely grateful to the committee for their past support, and we primarily are seeking to extend the availability of the current appropriation. But then we have this small additional request, and I can talk to you specifically about that. You know, again, we don't need to necessarily belabor what the impact of microgrids are in terms of our future electric grid. So let me just pause there. And you do have this presentation in front of you. If I were to just go to the second slide, this is basically communicating that just as we have promised that we, with the launch of this center, that we will bring in considerable more resources into our community through this effort. As of the date today, we've been awarded $23 million of additional funding for this program. And so we are literally positioning Minnesota as a global leader, not just the national leader in this space. And so in terms of just turning this over quickly to Dr. Cabalon, maybe he could just, you know, talk very briefly about what he is doing in terms of that world-class facility, and then I will just close up in terms of trying to address the specific questions from Chair Friends.
Thank you for that, Dean. Professor Cabalon, if you could please introduce yourself and present your testimony, and then on deck would be the testifier, Chandra Herr. Professor Cabalon.
Thank you, Chair Friends, Senator Zhang, and committee members. So I would like to turn your attention to the third slide in front of you. I am Dr. Mahmoud Cabalon, Professor of Engineering and the Director of the Center for Microgrid Research at St. Thomas. So as Dean Weinkauf shared, we are building something truly special here in Minnesota. I am very proud of St. Thomas's stewardship of the RDA funds to date, and I'm excited to share what is possible with additional investment. On slide three, what we're showing you is our impact now. We have built something that's truly world-class when it comes to modeling the capacity of the increase of distributed energy resources on the grid. We now are a world leader. So you can see some of our test beds. We are number one in the world out of 600 universities and utilities, and we have the second largest global modeling capacity as well. If we turn to slide four in front of you, from the start, one of our driving objectives has been the establishment of strong partnerships to position Minnesota as a leader in research and development and workforce training centered on resilient energy technologies. This slide just shows you some of the partnerships that we've established locally in the state, nationally, and also on the international side as well. Our partnerships center on advancing research and development with some of the leading institutions to advance emerging technologies from concept to real-world applications. And I also, just on behalf of the center's team, I want to thank this committee, the senator, and the state for the support. We built something truly special and something that the state can be very proud of. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Just thank you, Professor.
Wrap up here with the closures.
We do have another testifier.
Yes.
Go ahead, Dean.
But just to close up, really, the request is to, on slide five, is to complete the construction of this facility. We're very excited. We're going to be breaking. It's April 28th, and really what we're talking about is something that's extremely unique. We're talking about capabilities that really don't exist in many parts of the country, and so this is why we would love your support, really, to complete the build-out of this facility. We're talking about a very unique capacity in terms of electric vehicle testing, et cetera. And I guess just in closing, before Chandra joins us, just extreme gratitude. So thank you for your support. I would like to invite Chandra to the table.
Thank you, Dean. Ms. Herr, you want to come forward? Welcome back to the committee. Nice to see you. If you could introduce yourself, please, and present your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Friends and members of the committee. My name is Chandra Herr, and I am the Senior Policy Associate for Clean Energy Economy Minnesota, also known as SEEM. SEEM is an industry-led, nonpartisan, nonprofit organization representing the business voice of clean energy in Minnesota. I'm here today to express our support for Senate File 2758, authored by Senator Zhang. The bill would allocate funding to further expand the innovative work being done at the Center for Microgrid Research at the University of St. Thomas. The center has grown into a world-class applied engineering research center focused on distributed energy resources and microgrids, enabling a secure, resilient, and carbon-free electric grid for the 21st century. The bill highlights Minnesota's commitment to fostering an innovative energy ecosystem that will support the state's clean energy goals while strengthening workforce development and hands-on educational training, with the center playing a crucial role in offering microgrid technology training for both students and professionals. Currently, over 62,000 Minnesotans work in clean energy across the state, with the advanced grid sector accounting for 4.9% of those jobs. The center has also proven itself to be a vital resource for startup businesses, attracting investment and driving economic development in Minnesota. As a valued partner in the Grid Catalyst Innovators Network, the center has supported three startup businesses, Aza Power Systems, Blip Energy, and NeoCharge, helping them demonstrate their innovative clean technologies through the 2024 Demonstration Cohort Program, funded through Minnesota Energy Alley and the IN2 Innovation Incubator Programs. The bill would enable the center to expand its capacity, offering more industry partners the opportunity to test near-commercial products at a real-world scale. The work of the center is essential to the clean energy transition, as microgrids offer reliable, cost-effective, cleaner power solutions that reshape the future of power distribution. Investing in the center will continue to position Minnesota as a global leader in microgrid technologies. Thank you again for the opportunity to share our support for Senate File 2758.
Thank you, Ms. Herr. Are there members of the public who did not get listed by the committee administrator who would like to testify to the bill? Seeing none, we're going to go to member questions, and I have Senator Rarick at the top of the list. Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not sure if this is for Senator Zhang or for our staff, but I see on the sheet in front of us and in Senator Zhang's comments that there was previously a $400,000 appropriation, and this is looking to expand on that to $800,000. Now, I see in the back in the appropriation extension where we're extending the 23 appropriation, but I'm not quite following where. I mean, we're listing the 1.2. I don't see how we're either bringing back the 400,000 or increasing to 800. So if you can help me understand that.
Senator Rarick, under the category of great minds think alike, I actually had Mr. Mueller clarify that for me about 20 minutes ago. So with your permission, Senator Zhang, let's go to Scruffa, get an explanation, and then we'll be back to you, Senator Rarick. Mr. Mueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The $1.2 million that's requested here reflects there was $400,000 in the base budget. That was so this takes that $400,000 and adds another $800,000 to it. So $800,000 would be above base. So it's asking for the base budget plus $800,000.
Senator Rarick. All right. Thank you, Senator Rarick. Members, other questions? Senator Green.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Was the $400,000 the only other grant you got? Is that's what you're looking to extend? Or was there more money out there that is unspent?
Senator Zhang, Mr. Dean Weinkopf, or we can go back to Mr. Mueller.
Well, yes, we are breaking ground on this facility this month. And we want to have an extension of the base that was appropriated in 23 so that we can spend that money past June 30th. The construction timeline just won't allow us to complete the facility by June 30 and spend what was appropriated in 23.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Green.
Thank you. Well, I was looked up some of your stuff, and you've gotten quite a bit of money, and I don't know if it's all for this, but you got $11 million from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Yes.
It shows another $10 million from the Renewable Development Account Program.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm asking. So that money doesn't, is that what you're looking to extend as well? Or is that separate money for something else?
Dean Weinkopf.
I can answer that question. So specifically from that, there's $3 million that expire by June 30th, 2025. We're looking to extend that $3 million.
Senator Green.
I'm not sure I understood that. Are you looking to extend the $10 million from the renewable account that you got before?
I think what I heard from that, Senator Green, is $3 million of that. The answer is yes, looking to extend $3 million. But, Professor, if you want to add to that, go ahead.
So, to date, we've spent the $10 million that you're referring to adds the other requests. So we've already spent a good amount of that. The request is just for that $3 million that would expire on June 30th.
Okay, so I think what I got there is they got $10 million, spent $7 million of it. They want to extend the $3 million plus add another $1.2 million. Okay, then Mr. Chair.
Senator Green.
It sounds like back in 2022, you also got $5.4 million from rural development account. Is that part of the same project?
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
But so where it gets confusing is that 5.4 was a five-year ask. What we actually really got under contract with Commerce was specifically that $3.6 million for the back in 2021. Right. So yes. It gets confusing because it wasn't really 5.4. We got under contract for 3.6 and then came back to extend that, if that makes sense.
Senator Green?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, but you still got the money. And then it looks like you also got from the federal government another $10 million for RV charging stations. And another $2 million came in from Advanced Microgrid Innovations. And then it looks like you did private fundraising of $93 million in between 2021 and 2022. And so just one more question then. When you're looking for money from the state and you've already got quite a bit and you haven't really even broke ground yet and you're already asking for more, does the University of St. Thomas have an endowment fund they can take out of? Because I've seen that many times where colleges have these huge endowment accounts and yet they come back to the state for taxpayer dollars.
Thank you, Senator Green. We're going to go to Senator Zhang or the dean for that answer. Question?
Yeah, no, there's no question. I mean, all of these funds that you're listing, they all have a color of money, as you well know. People who give money to our endowment give it to certain projects like athletics or other things. So this isn't available for just any projects that we want to, take on. This is something that we feel is, one, well in line with what the RDA intent is, and that's why we're coming to really fulfill that role of that legislative intent. We feel that this is something that is part of our grid energy, our future grid, that we are working on. For example, the federal money that we're talking about here, we cannot use federal dollars for bricks and mortar. So what we're trying to do is approach the legislature here for the kinds of support that we need to build, again, something truly special, and we're talking about something world-class. We are also, by the way, the university is committing $5 million to make this project happen. So as outlined in slide two that we have here, this is a commitment from the university to effectively match and leverage what the state is producing through the RDA.
Dean, I think the question was, what is St. Thomas's endowment? Do you mind sharing that with us? I assume it's a matter of public record.
It is. I don't have the current number, but the St. Thomas's endowment is, I believe, over $600 million, not 93. Yeah.
Thank you. Senator Green.
I think that's enough. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Senator Green. Members, other questions before we lay the bill over? Let's give the last word to Senator Zhang. Nice job, Senator Zhang. Any last comments?
Thank you, Chair and members. Just hope for your consideration of this project for RDA. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Zhang. Thank you, testifiers.
Thank you.
With that, Senate File 2758 is laid over for possible inclusion. Members, our final bill on the agenda today is Senate File 2220, presented by Senator Umuber-Baden. Senator, welcome to the Energy Committee. Nice to see you. Please present Senate File 2220.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm excited to be here to bring forward Senate File 2220. This is a really exciting energy project in my district and our capital city at the Como Park Zoo and Conservatory. And this bill appropriates $2,250,000 in fiscal year 2026. That's from the renewable development account to construct a geothermal energy system that provides space heating and cooling to the large CATS building. This project will be a major milestone in our efforts to move toward a cleaner St. Paul in Minnesota. And just wanted to highlight some numbers with you about Como Zoo's regional importance and their impact to our overall state. Como Zoo and Conservatory has been celebrated as the most visited cultural attraction in Minnesota, with as many as 2.2 million visitors per year, and is one of the country's few remaining free public zoos, which is amazing. It's totally free to visit. It's very inclusive, and they provide access to all. We also have visitors that come from all over the state, so 16% from St. Paul, 42% from the metro, 22% from greater Minnesota, and 16% out of the state. Whether it's creating fun experiences that deepen knowledge and a sense of connection, or making sure it's easy and welcoming for all people to visit, Como is always inviting and a very inspiring place. The campus represents as much as 25% of the city's overall use of energy in the buildings that are owned and operated by the City of St. Paul. So there's a lot of opportunity there. And the city does have an ambitious goal of net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. So this is an important piece of that. In October of this last year, I was actually able to join some of our city leaders in the federal delegation at Como Zoo and Conservatory to start phase one by transitioning the primates and polar bears buildings from natural gas-fueled heating to geothermal energy and electric heat pumps. That will significantly reduce greenhouse gas emissions from city operations and ultimately help us save money on the future energy and operations costs. So this project is really a big step taken to meet that goal. The project will also convert the whole campus to LED lighting and building control systems that will greatly enhance energy efficiency. And with that, I will pass it to my testifiers.
Thank you. Well done, Senator. I have listed Erica Prosser from the City of St. Paul. Ms. Prosser, assuming that's you, please introduce yourself and present your testimony.
Chair, friends, and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to testify this afternoon. My name is Erica Prosser. I am the Deputy Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of St. Paul and the Interim Director of Como Park Zoo and Conservatory. I have to get the naming conventions down. I'm on week four of my interim role, so I hope you'll have a little grace with me today. Thank you, Senator, for authoring this bill and sharing some of our visitor numbers. I think that highlights that Como Park Zoo and Conservatory is not only a metro asset, but it's a regional and statewide asset that we all can share. Some additional numbers for you. Como Park Zoo and Conservatory is an economic engine that provides $162.7 million in economic impact to the state of Minnesota and generates over 2,000 jobs. On an annual basis, over 400,000 students are touched by our programs and field trips. Como Park Zoo and Conservatory must continuously address the critical animal habitat and energy efficiency asset preservation to meet our modern zoological practices. The Como Park Zoo and Conservatory has set ambitious goals to reduce our energy costs by 20% and to continue to upgrade facility heating and cooling systems at our facility. We need additional funding to remain viable and to remain a viable and sustainable entity. Como Park Zoo and Conservatory is currently operating on a failing and unreliable 40-plus-year-old campus-wide heating system. Our facility does not have the funds available to change over this inefficient natural gas steam boiler to a more efficient heating and cooling system and begin the decarbonization of our campus. In 2022, a geothermal feasibility study was completed for the Como Zoo campus by Sustainable Energy Savings in partnership with Xcel Energy, which found that we have excellent hydrogeology for the installation of a groundwater-based geothermal system, since our area contains three major bedrock aquifers within 600 feet of the surface. This study compared electric, gas, and geothermal HVAC options for 11 of our buildings on campus, identifying that significant utility cost savings could be achieved through geothermal options. These savings are based on 2021 utility rates. Geothermal project paybacks per building range anywhere from 3 to 9 years. And as someone who is a public administrator, I get really excited about finding ways to be efficient with our public dollars. And so annual net savings on utility costs for each of these buildings would range anywhere from $42,000 a year to $438,000 a year. Replacing our systems with a more reliable clean energy source will advance us towards our clean energy goals and will ensure animal life safety as well as the visitor experience. The geothermal conversion projects at our campus are a major milestone in our efforts to move towards a cleaner St. Paul and a cleaner state. This project represents the single biggest step we've taken to date to advance that goal. As the senator indicated, our campus represents as much as 25% of the city of St. Paul's overall use of energy in buildings that we own and operate. With millions of visitors every year to Como and one of the country's few remaining free public zoos, this is a significant location to advance this work. Phase one is currently underway, which focuses on the conversion of the primates and polar bear buildings from natural gas fueled heating to geothermal energy and electric heat pumps, significantly reducing greenhouse gas emissions from the city operations and saving money on future energy and operational costs. This additional funding for our Big Cat exhibit is needed for conversion of every animal in the Big Cats exhibit, but also for all of the visitors and staff members in our building. Thank you again for your time today. My request is that you put together an energy omnibus bill in this session and that you all can support this legislation to help Como Zoo and Conservatory and the City of St. Paul with this initiative. I'm happy to take any questions you may have, Chair Friends.
Thank you for that, Ms. Prosser. Nicely done. I do not have any other listed testifiers. Senator Umer-Verbaeten, do you have any other testifiers with you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have our Chief Resiliency Officer, Russ Stark, here to help answer questions, but we can just go see what the committee's questions are before going to any prepared testimony.
Mr. Stark, is that right?
That's correct, Senator. Thank you.
Happy to have you testify for a few seconds if you want, or you can just be available for questions. Up to you totally.
Chair Friends, thank you so much. Really excited about this project as the city's Chief Resilience Officer, Mr. Chair and members. My job is really to help lead the city's climate action sustainability work. And so because of Ms. Prosser's relative newness in her role, just here to answer any questions that may come up with regard to the geothermal project or the nature of the project and its planning. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stark. Any members of the public who are not listed as testifiers but who would like to come forward and testify for a minute or two? Seeing none, members, our intention is to lay the bill over. I have Senator Rarick and then Senator Green. So we'll go to Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Umer-Verbaeten, as you were talking, you mentioned something about LED light. Was that supposed to be part of this project, or I didn't quite catch how you were the reference to that is in comparison to this?
Thank you, Senator. Senator Umer-Verbaeten, or Mr. Stark, perhaps.
Yes, Chair Friends and Senator. The LED piece of this was actually part of the polar bears and primates project that is well underway now, and so that was a reference to some of the existing work that's happening.
Thank you. Senator Rarick.
Thank you. And then my second question was in regards to that piece, what was your funding for that first phase of the project?
Thank you, Senator Rarick. Senator Umer-Verbaeten, do you want to see if Mr. Stark has that? Mr. Stark.
Chair Frentz and Senator, the project did receive a federal earmark through Congresswoman McCollum's office. The remainder of the project is being financed by the city, with a piece of that funding coming from the city's relatively recent sales tax.
Thank you, Mr. Stark. Senator Rarick.
One last one, Mr. Chair. And is this $2.25 million the complete funding, or is the, what are other sources of funding for this project?
Mr. Stark.
Yes. Chair Frentz and Senator, the Big Cats building is actually going to be replaced. And so this component of the project would allow us to move forward with the geothermal technology in the construction of the replacement building for Big Cats. If you've been out there any time recently, it's a pretty old, inaccessible building that needs a fair bit of work. And so other sources would include city resources, as well as, I believe, there is a bonding request for that building as well.
Thank you, Mr. Stark. Senator Rarick. Senator Rarick, you're good. Senator Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned that your heating system is pretty old, and geothermal is going to be all electric, and so electricity goes out. I don't think that's going to be an option for you. Is there any money in here, or have you considered what kind of backup heat you're going to use?
Thanks, Senator Green. Mr. Stark, do you want to try that one?
Chair Frentz and Senator Green, yes. For each of the buildings where we're putting geothermal in, there is a backup system, to your point, in case electricity is out. Those are typically a diesel generator, in effect, for backup for that specific building. We don't anticipate long outages of electricity. We don't generally have those. And so I think those backup systems are meant to be able to operate for a couple of days.
Senator Green, if you don't mind. So, Mr. Stark, are you saying it's important to have backup generation even though it doesn't run that often?
Oh, I'm sorry, Chair Frentz. No, the system would be operating all the time. The backup would only be needed in the case of an electricity outage. The outages are relatively rare, but we do have to keep those animals warm and cool, and that's priority number one. So, yes, there does need to be a backup system.
Thanks. I'll go back to Senator Green after just noting that even a short outage is really important to have that backup generation in place. Just a little forward spin there for members on the committee. Senator Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Have you considered what you're going to have to go through in Minnesota to get permitting for those diesel generators?
Mr. Stark.
Chair Frentz and Senator Green, I have a feeling I am entering a conversation that I don't know all the details of here. However, we've gone through this process just recently with the polar bears and primates building, so I'm confident that we do know how to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Stark. Senator Green? All right, Senator Green's good. Members, anyone else? Mr. Stark, you are a good sport. Of course, the jurisdiction here includes the question of backup generation and just how long it runs and how much of a pain in the neck to get it permitted, but that is a different Energy Committee meeting. Members, again, the intention is to lay it over. I want to thank you, Ms. Prosser, Mr. Stark. I would lean into the $162 million of economic impact, regardless of your ideology. We want people coming to the state of Minnesota and spending money. Senator Uma Verbaten, any final comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a great project. Como Zoo is a very special place. I'm lucky to be within walking distance, but you are all always welcome to come visit at any time.
Thank you, Senator. Well done. And any presentation that has the words Big Cats Building, I think, has to get some special attention. With that, Senator Uma Verbaten, Senate File 2220 is laid over for possible inclusion. And members, that is the conclusion of the agenda for today. On Wednesday, we'll have two RDA bills, Senate File 2900 and Senate File 2106. We will revisit the issue of Senator Matthews' bill, Senate File 1393, and we'll hear Senator Frentz's Senate File 2855, Solar Garden Sunset. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.